For Chasm Radio, I'm Farm Director Joe Gill. It's our Seed to Feed segment once again with Pioneer Seeds and Nick Schimmick joining us this week. And, you know, Nick, looking at the calendar here, we're seeing September go and October come our way. And, you know, we've seen a lot of progress in our area fields already.
Yeah, the feeling of harvest is definitely there. Silage harvest is kind of the way I think most of the harvest is going to go as we get into grain and soybeans as well. As, when we're extremely fast, you know, we've had a really hot growing year. We're still roughly 400, maybe 450 GDUs above normal for the year. So we've had a lot of heat, and that kind of continued the trend through August and then part of September, where silage harvest went really fast and got us there. And I think we're seeing the same with soybeans and going into corn grain now. The some of the early beans been coming off have been decent and have been right there at the right moisture. These rains will slow things down, of course, but otherwise I think we'll be right into beet corn right after that. Been hearing reports of corn moistures kind of starting to drop below 25%, of course, depending on planting date and maturity. But, you know, that's going to catch up, too. It's not necessarily like we're going to be waiting for corn to dry down. I think we're going to be going right after it as soon as we can.
You know, Nick, I think we have to give credit where credit is due, too. Just some of the technology and engineering with some of these seeds. I mean, for the lack of rain, there are folks that are pretty content with the crop they got.
Yeah, that's the part that's incredible. We were talking with many growers here through the first couple weeks of September that had lived off of 7 inches of rain. I'm sure some areas got less, some areas got more. But, you know, a corn crop that needs over 20, 28 inches of rain a year, making it off of 7 inches of 8 inches of rain is pretty incredible for some that's out there. Now, there's areas that are really stressed, you know, and that they couldn't quite finish it out, and, you know, that maybe didn't make much of an ear, but on the other side of things, anywhere that had at least a little bit of moisture, and I think we pollinated pretty well and actually set kernels decent. So, you know, that's surprising for being out there, and to your point, Joe, in terms of genetic gain and some of these seeds. You know, I look at it. We talk about genetic gain in terms of with new hybrids come out and new products come out, and they're coming out because we're getting a stair step in agronomics and yield. But you also look at the differences as genetic gain and agronomics as well. You know, for us, our highest drought tolerant corn is rated as a 9. Well, a highest drought tolerant corn 6 years ago might be a lot different than the highest drought tolerant corn today. You know, that's I think that just shows they're always trying to make strides in genetic gain. But then I also couple that with things that we have improvement on the technology side of things too, with, you know, planting equipment and tillage equipment and everything like that. Everything that's more fine-tuned and more precise has really helped I think this corn crop and soybean crop come along and make it through the dry year that we had.
Nick Schimmick with Pioneer Seeds joining us on our weekly Seed to Feed here on Chasm Radio. And, you know, looking at the extended forecast too, I mean, even this weekend we could see some 80s, but I'm not really seeing the potential of any really hard freeze or anything. And I think that's only going to help farmers out too, Nick.
Which would actually kind of be welcome in a way. You know, we had that if we remember back to spring, anything that's planted on the second half of May, we had some variability, especially in our soybeans throughout the area, that we got planted late soybeans and we got dried out really fast, that flash drought. We had some beans that emerged almost 20 to 30 days later, and it was all going to come down to is, will we get the fall to help finish those out? You know, they're going to compensate, but we still need the fall to help finish. And I think that's what we're setting up for right now, at least the fall to help those areas finish out. But we're still going to have a lot of variability out there, too. The nice part is our corn is going to be able to reach black layer naturally is the hope, and then be able to finish out our beans evenly. And when you get into 80s like this, then it's all about, wow, we're going to dry down fast. I mean, think about an 80-degree day and a 65-degree night. We're getting over 20 GDUs a day. When we're dropping down from 30 to 25%, we're only taking 30 GDUs per point. So we're almost losing a point a day when it gets to be 80 degrees outside, and that'll really help dry down the corn crop there already and get that into a favorable harvest moisture really early.
You know, Nick, too, what should folks keep in mind as you know, this soil kind of takes a breather here before winter, and some folks do some tillage. I know we're getting some light rains here and there, but, you know, it's really time for the soil to maybe regroup, I assume, as we head into winter, right?
Yeah, we're going to need that going into the season. A lot can change between now and next planting, but of course we're going to the fall really dry, right? We had a little bit of rain over the weekend, which is great. We need more to replenish that soil profile. So as you kind of start thinking about what we can control, there's not a ton we can control on that side of things, but at the same time, what can we, you know, maybe a couple of thoughts, you've had a couple of dry years, is what can we do to maybe help manage residue, reduce soil loss, soil moisture in that type of way too, to try and capture maybe as much snow as we can to maybe try and get as much moisture back to that soil profile too. So, you know, not excessive tillage, things like that as we get into this fall, maybe something to consider just as we try to look almost ahead and start planning for next year.
You know, Nick, finally as well, I've seen some folks cut hay. I've seen some leave it stand. It all kind of depends, I think, what that field is meant to do next spring, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And that's a tough decision. You know, we've had that talk with several growers as we got into this fall season here, is what stands do you leave, which ones do you keep, and or which ones can you take? And it's not necessarily an easy decision either, right, because we had a full year full of probably wanting hay and needing hay. That fact that our second and third cuttings probably didn't get everything off of it that we wanted to. But at the same time, we don't want to overstress those stands as we go into winter here, because we do want to try to prolong the longevity of those stands still at the same time. So, you know, I've been trying to say if there's something that we can do to try and mitigate the losses, so, or mitigate the risk. So if you have older stands that may be more stressed, or new seedings that could be more stressed, you know, those are probably the ones that are going to be potentially more stressed going into the winter if we do take that last cutting. So are those ones we can leave, and if we have some healthier stands out there that are maybe a second or third year, maybe try to take those ones instead. So just something to maybe consider as you're looking at, okay, what fields are most stressed that maybe I want to try to leave going into winter, and if there's something I need hay for, try to take the ones that are least stressed.
You know, Nick, I've seen a few fields where they've flowered out. Is that dangerous to do going into fall if you just leave as is, or is that going to be okay?
You know, that'd be fine. I mean, they're just taking up the resources with it as well. That's a good question. You know, the end of the day, that's going to set its crowns going into, or going to help save as much as you can going into next year. So, I mean, it's not necessarily going to hurt it, because we know going into next year that's still going to die out, and we're going to put on new growth. So, I don't think that'd be a necessary huge concern going into the following year.
Your Seed to Feed Pioneer Seeds, Nick Shimmick, joining us here on CASM Radio.